I hope you all are well this morning. As he said, my name is Mia. I am a sophomore at Olivet Nazarene University, and I'm studying pastoral ministry, hence why I'm here. So I'm here with Preaching and Music Ambassadors. I'm sure you guys have had a lot of those visitors in the past, and it's just a way to let me visit and go around and travel and get experience in preaching, which is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. So I'm really thankful for this opportunity and thankful for you all for having me today. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today and the time that you have given us to come together and worship you and to thank you for your faithfulness to us. We pray that you will be with us as we learn more about you and your goodness to us, and that we have open minds and hearts to what you want us to understand today. We love you, Lord. Please be with me as I share your word. Amen. So when I was researching about what I was going to talk about today, I came across an article written by an author and pastor, Jacob Gerber. And in his writing, something really stuck out to me. He said, "We have to navigate through seasons of plenty, and we have to navigate through seasons of suffering. When those seasons of suffering come, we act as though these things shouldn't happen, that can't happen, or that won't happen. So when they actually do come, they catch us completely off guard. They catch us by surprise." Now that is so true. We want our lives to be amazing, and sometimes I think we can begin to feel entitled to a good life without any pain or suffering to come with it. Pastor Jacob goes on to say, "When we enter those times of suffering, it's not just that we are surprised by it, but sometimes we find it in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, that we begin to gauge and evaluate whether we perceive God to be present depending upon our circumstances." So, in other words, if it's the time and seasons in our life when we are getting plenty, then of course the Lord is with me. But if during the times I'm suffering and lacking and I don't know if the Lord is with me, then I feel as though he has forsaken me and abandoned me. Today we are reading Genesis 39, which is just part of the story of Joseph. And something that it teaches us is to look beyond our circumstances and to learn to see God's presence with us, even and especially in the midst of the great suffering in our lives. So if you want to open your Bibles with me, Genesis 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Okay, let's stop there for right now. Like we were talking about earlier in our own lives, Joseph here was having to learn to navigate through both the times of plenty and the times of lacking, between being a servant, but also still finding favor with God. Think about it. Think about what we know about Joseph's story or what the Bible has told us about Joseph. Something that comes before this in his story is his brothers selling him into slavery. They were so overcome by jealousy of him that they sold him and then made up a story to their father saying that he had died. That sounds like a pretty low place to me. Like, just think, how bad must you hate your brother or sister that you sell them into slavery? They might get on your nerves, but even that's a little extreme. Now, let's continue with our reading today. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Again, in this story section of the story, God is faithful. God had worked it out. Joseph is a servant, but because God shown favor, Joseph becomes in charge of the whole household, an Egyptian's household at that. So a little history to understand this some more. Egyptians and Hebrew people, later known as Israelites, they did not get along. The Hebrews were literally slaves to the Egyptians, which again was the case for Joseph. And I don't know about you, but it's very rare that a slave, which they might have seen as lowly or unintelligent or weak, or however they viewed them, it was not made a habit to make them managers of your house and everything you owned. But still, in the beginning of our reading today, in the first part of verse 1, it said, "The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered." The master sees that and couldn't help but want that to be what was leading his house. But let's focus on Joseph again. The Lord was with him and he prospered. Now, when I was reading this, I kind of struggled a little bit with something. And maybe you were too when you heard that. Isn't God with everyone? Especially us. Let's focus on believers. We have accepted him into our lives, and he promises to never leave nor forsake us. So if God is with us, not everyone prospers. We still go through financial hardships. We still go through the grief of losing a loved one. We still face sickness and poor health, physically and maybe even mentally. And so many more terrible, awful, hard things. Why do we go through these things? Does this mean that God is unfaithful? Just because God promises to be with us doesn't mean that life will be easy. When we first read this story, it's easy to think that Joseph's life was perfect. Like the scripture kept saying how he was succeeding in everything. And it can be hard because when we look at our own lives, we can think, I'm with God and God is with me. So why am I not seeing all these successes in my life? Am I doing something wrong? Again, with the questioning about whether or not God has abandoned or forsaken us. So when I was reading over this sermon again to prepare for today, something else stood out to me. The word prosper. So I did what any good college scholarly researcher would do, and I went to Google. What does the word prosper even mean? Well, I found out that the definition of prosper is to succeed in material things. And I can see where this fits with Joseph. He kept getting things like more leadership and control over the household. But this answer didn't really satisfy my curiosity. So I actually dug deeper and looked into the Hebrew context. And I'm going to apologize in advance because I'm going to kind of nerd out here just so I can justify spending all this money in a biblical language minor and because I find it so cool. So the Hebrew word for prosper is tzalecha, which can also mean to succeed. And the root of the word means to accomplish what is intended. In this Hebrew dictionary that I found, it said, real prosperity results from the work of God in the life of the one who seeks God with all of his heart. This is fascinating, but it still had me wondering. When I continued to look around, I found that in the Hebrew Bible, this word for prosper is only used sometimes. The other times, it uses the word baruch, which means blessed or favored. This is where it really clicked for me. Because we aren't always promised that easy life with all these material things. But when we are with God, we are blessed and he has favor on us. This idea of grace being his unmerited favor. Let's keep all that in mind as we continue to wrestle with it a little bit and continue through his story. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, My master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing in sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by the cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make fools of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to make me look like a fool. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story his wife told him, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Let's pause again. After we hear that Joseph is put in charge of the house, something you could consider a high point in his life, here comes Potiphar's wife. The perfect temptation to make Joseph turn away from the God that has been so faithful to him. But what was his reaction when she came to him, telling him to sleep with her, and now this low part of his life? We see his response in verse 9. "How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Wow. The self-control that must have taken. No one was there. No one would have known. I wish I could say that every time a temptation comes to me. I think we can all agree that that's definitely easier said than done. But hear this. God was still with Joseph, and temptation still came. This will happen to every single one of us at one point or another, and in all honesty, probably multiple times. God never leaves us, but the temptations and hardships are still going to attack us. Even in the hard times, when trials and temptations come, and they will come, God is faithful. Now, Joseph did everything right in this situation, but things are just out of his control. He does the right thing by turning away from the temptation. Maybe he's then expecting some reward, and maybe we found ourselves doing that. "Okay, God, did you see that? I just did something really good. What are you going to do for me now? You're going to fix everything and take me out of these hard times, right? I passed the test." Now, I'm not saying that this is what Joseph said or that it's what he thought, but even though he was the head of the household, at the end of the day, he was still a slave. How nice would it have been to be out of slavery completely? Well, unfortunately for Joseph, his integrity did not get him any closer to freedom. It actually got him further. Let's keep reading. "Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of the whole household, put him in charge of those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in everything he did." Joseph was thrown in prison. This man cannot catch a break. Reading his story, bad thing after bad thing keeps happening to him. But we can see that it's not because he's unfaithful, or even that God is unfaithful. We see at the end of the chapter, it says it again, the Lord was with Joseph. He was quickly put in charge of all of the people held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. In what seemed like yet another low point in his life, God was still there. God never leaves us. Like Joseph, we might be stuck in bad situations, but God can still work through those times and work things for good. His life didn't suddenly become perfect, but he was still succeeding. God is so faithful. But don't just take my word for it. Think about all the stories like this one that you can read. Think about your own things that you have seen in your life. Sometimes I know that it can maybe feel like there's nothing. But just take a little bit of time to think, and I know that you can come up with a way that he has been faithful in your own life. Maybe with the family he gave you, whether it be the blood-related or the church family that's around you right now. Maybe the food you eat or the hardship that he's gotten you out of. You could still even be in the hardship, but he's been faithfully giving you strength to endure it. God's faithfulness can be seen in anything, big or small. The problem is not that he's not faithful. Maybe in some aspects of our life, it's more the fact that we don't trust him fully. Like, we have to truly ask ourselves, am I fully trusting that he is faithful and will see me through this situation? Why is it so hard to have faith in his faithfulness? We are not alone. I'm sure Joseph didn't see the plans that God had to prosper him while he was heading into his prison cell. But he could look back and remember that he was put in charge of a whole household. He could look back on God keeping him safe when his brothers sold him into slavery, and how he had the strength to turn down temptation after temptation. And in this yet another bad situation he found himself in, again, he found God's faithfulness by watching over the prison duties. Maybe your life is going great right now. God is clearly showing his faithfulness, so it's not hard for you to search for it and believe it. But we are not promised that in every season of our life. And that's when we have to remember these moments, or other moments that he has proven his faithfulness. Will you be ready when those times come? The greatest part of all of this is that we don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I hope that we can remember this as we go into this next week and look for all the ways that God is showing his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness that is unfailing. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for seeing us through all of our hard circumstances. And even when we're still in them, you remain with us and you remain faithful. We pray now that you help us not lose faith in you, that we stay steadfast in trusting you, and that you have and want what is best for us. Thank you for the time together spent in your house. I pray now that you go back with us to all the different situations we are going when we go home. And you keep on reminding us of the truths we've heard from you today. We love you, Lord. Amen.